Did you like that? All right. Just in case you didn't know the whole story, we just gave it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Something about worship that we talk about, it does something. It turns it gives you rest. Amen. Something about when you get lost in worship and you just, you know, give way to the Lord, it seems like it just, if you really just let go and just, it takes us out of where we are and the weariness and the worries and things that's going on. But I want to talk tonight. I feel like there's a, we're living in a day and age where that sometimes it feels like we get weary. Can you say amen to that? Come on, you get weary, and it's a lot of good people that sometimes wonder, what's wrong with me, or this or that. But I know that we get to a place where there's weariness, and I was talking to Pastor Dan about this, and one of the problems is we're constantly bombarded with knowledge and information download everywhere. Everywhere you go, you're always getting information, or you're getting so much things that are coming at you all the time, and it's like your mind doesn't ever get a rest. And I feel like that we got to understand that we live in a day and age now with technology and things that are going, and there's kind of, it's a blessing, but yet it's sometimes a curse because it doesn't give us rest because we're always thinking about these things, and you lay your head down sometimes and these things are in your mind and you're thinking about them. And I began to think about how that there's seasons that we live in, you know, it's springtime, it's summer, it's fall, and it's winter. And your body goes through those seasons too, but with these bombardment of information and things that goes on, we never have time to get into a rest. Our cycle, our bodies need to rest too. And we live in it right now that this is the time, winter time, that bodies normally are on shutdown. They come into a place of rest. And do you notice that we live, think about this, anytime there's a blessing, there's always, the enemy's always trying to do something to stir something up, to cause you to be discomforted or weary or bombed down or whatever it is. Come on, just like when we do great things and things happen and you're doing all kinds of amazing things to the Lord, your church is moving, but yet there's always something that's trying to knock on the door to make you weary and to burn you out and to throw in the towel or whatever it is. But just like how the time of winter, it's a time of rest where that you let the ground rest. You can't plant nothing in the winter. Come on, amen? And you wait, and it's a time of rebuilding. Come on, I want you to hear this because I feel that God's stirring our hearts. You're rebuilding. You're coming to a place where that you're letting yourself rest up for what is to come. Amen? That you get to a place and you begin to dream. Winter is a time of dreaming. Where you dream, like God will put a dream on your heart and something in your mind that you can begin to move out and say, God, Lord, let God speak to your heart so that in the springtime you're ready to go and you rest it up. And we need to be in that cycle, that we really do. We need to have ourselves to that place where, because listen, Christmas time is such a blessing, is it not? It's awesome, beautiful candles and lights and family and friends and food. And we celebrate the birth of Christ, and it's a time of joy. It should be a time of joy. It really is. But on the other hand, sometimes it could be a very disheartening time, or a worrisome time, or a hurtful time, because what are different things that take place, and the enemy will use those things, and also we get to a place where we become weary because of the holiday. But yet, it's supposed to be a time of rest. It's supposed to be a time of rebooting. Come on, amen. So I just want us to get this. In Matthew 11, Jesus says this, Matthew 11, 28, it says, come unto me. Amen? And I want us to just take a look at this just for a minute and see what Jesus tells us, because we all sometimes get weariness. And how do you get out of that weariness? How do you keep yourself from being weary and wore out? Because Jesus mentions weariness a lot. He mentions it. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That word heavy laden means all those that are weary. Come on, tell someone weary. And I will give you rest. And the thing that's powerful about this, the word weary means that you're wore out from a journey. Come on, hear this. But on the opposite side of this, Jesus confronts being weary from your journey to resting from your journey. See, because the word rest means resting from a journey, from a time that you have been weary and you come to a place where that you're resting. Wow. See, I like that. See, Jesus, He comes right directly at that and takes place that. He says, here, give me your weariness and I will give you rest. Come on, amen. I will give you rest. I will cause you to be at ease. And this is what we need to learn to do as men and women of God. We have to. Because the Bible says that even in the latter times, it says that the saints will grow weary. He says saints will become weary and overrun. And we can't let ourselves be weary. Come on. We talked about this Saturday night because it is so important for us to be an example, to be the light of the world, to be the witness to others, to show the way. And if we are in a place of weariness, then those places that we wore down, you're tired and you don't even feel like moving on. Come on, amen. But we find rest in Jesus Christ. Amen. And a couple of these scriptures, the Bible says in Isaiah 30... I think 30 or 50, verse 4. Let me give you these real quick. You all right? Listen to this. Isaiah 50, verse 4. And it says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word, when? In season, to him that is weary. Sometimes you're weary and you need to speak a word of knowledge. Come on, amen. You need to speak. Come on, we've talked this before where that Jesus wasn't welcomed where? In his own hometown. He wasn't received. I want you to know that sometimes we don't receive that word of God for our own hometown, for our own selves. Sometimes we don't receive that word for ourselves. So we got to be at a place where that we receive a word in season, in that season. If you're weary, you need to receive a word from God to get out of it. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Amen. They will mount up with wings as eagle. They will not be weary. Come on. Amen. They will run and not be what? Weary. So that's a powerful word that we got to understand, that when you are united with Him, when you grab hold of a word from God, we got to see. I want us to get excited about the Word of God. I want us to understand that the Word of God transforms us. The Word of God, it ignites us, it moves us, it transforms us, it causes us to ascend, it causes us to get up from dry places, it causes our lives to begin to just like the bones that were dry when that word was spoken to them, it couldn't stay that way. Come on, hear me. It couldn't stay that way. You need to speak over yourself. So I need to speak over this body, over myself, and I need to declare, rise up, hallelujah. You might be weary, but come on, rise up and keep speaking that word to yourself and over who you are. Get a word from God. Amen? We got to get a word from God and speak to that we can rise from those places, that we don't stay. Come on, amen? Everybody gets weary. Tell someone, everybody gets weary. Galatians 6:19. Everybody gets weary, but we're not to stay in that weariness. And actually, I'm going to talk about this. Well, I'll save it. I'll save it for Christmas because I kind of already got a message for Christmas. It's about the birth of Christ, if you didn't know. Galatians 6. It's a good message, right? Galatians 6:19. Oh, is that 19? 6:9. I thought I knew that. 6:9. And it says, let us not. So that's a choice. Don't let yourself be weary. Don't lose heart. In well doing, for in due season, we will reap if we faint not. But listen to me. Here's the problem with this. We got to grab this and see this. It has to do with, right here he says, in due season we reap. But you can't reap what you haven't sown. We'll stay weary. We wonder what's going on if we're not sowing. Amen? If we're not sowing, we can't reap anything. But if we sow the Word of God in our lives, over ourselves, over our minds, over our weariness. We speak that word and we reach out to God. Just like tonight where we come and you let yourself be rested in that worship and you just find yourself there and let it begin to move in you. Amen. That's the word of God, as worship does. It just it moves you. Hallelujah. It moves you. So that's what we have to do. But you got to sow. Amen. You got to sow. And that, see, I want you to know that the word of God, it brings you back into balance. And you know, scientifically, this is powerful, that the ocean, okay, if you go to the ocean, and this isn't like weird stuff, this is natural truth, that the way that the ocean goes out, comes in. Isn't there something about that? Come on. You've been to the ocean? But you just, it goes out and it comes in. It brings a balance. They said that it literally brings a balance and a rest to you that you can only find in that surrounding. As you sit there. Just something about that. Come on, amen? There's something about that I remember just being, I went to the beach one time and we were right by the beach and you opened up the windows and you could just, all night long, I never slept better than I ever slept there, boy. I tell you, amen? Something about that. But what it is it's a rhythm and it brings us back. And you know what? Listen, it brings us back into what God created. Hallelujah. I want you to think about this. Is the way God designed things. That we get so out of rhythm and so out of balance and everything. And God, that right there is an example of God. How that even in that, in the natural, comes into the spiritual where that, the even flow of things, that God will bring it back and He'll realign even our natural bodies. That's powerful. But we can see this and understand that. But we got to know that we can't all spend the time there. But God will naturally, that we get to that place where we let God bring us back to a balance in our lives. Amen? Because there's always going to be things. But we got to choose, what are we going to worry about? What do we let take our time up? What are we focusing on? What are some things that, listen, I'm here to tell you, some things we just got to let go. We're wondering why we're weary, and there's some things that we're so occupied that they really aren't that important, that Jesus said to us, these things rust and fade away. Sometimes there's things, a monster will come in and eat those things. But listen, the presence of God is so valuable that we have to have that understanding that we got to pull that in and just be aware of God's presence in our lives. Amen? To bring us back into balance. Because you wake up every day. Did you ever hear that expression? No rest for the weary. Is there something about it? Wait, there's something. Weary, no. There's something, yeah. But it's true. I hear that too. But there's no rest, like in a sense, but there is. His name is Jesus. Amen. Because you do get weary, and we do get in those places. But He's saying, come unto Me, come unto Me. So there's a thing that we come unto God. We receive that word, and we sow that word over our lives, over our situation, over those dry grounds, over those places where you don't see anything happening, but you plant that thing, and you stay there. Don't grow weary in it. Sow the seed of God's word in your life, and sow that seed, and stay in that place, and don't leave that place. And wait for the results to come. Amen? Wait for the results to come. Let it rise up in our lives. And it does. Amen? It does rise up. It does come to that place. But let's look at... let me see. Hang on. Where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? John 13. There it is. Now, I've shared this before, but I just want to give this to you and just express this to you from this angle. Amen? And there's a couple facts that I might have shared before, but I'm going to give them out again, but I want to deal with something else as we go on here. Chapter 13, verse 1, it says, now. Say now. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the what? End. Listen, I want us to see this. This is so powerful, just in that one little thing. You know me, what if I get caught in a scripture, but I want to get all the way through here. But this is so powerful, and there's so much just in this one part. This is how Jesus, you got to think about this too. Everybody just stop for a second and think about this. You know what is on his mind? He knows that it's coming to an end. His moment here on earth. In the natural. He knew what was coming. Talk about weary. That in a sense, you are carrying all the burdens of the world upon your back. You're going to the cross with all this upon you. You have all this. You remember where he said, all you that are heavy laden? He took it. He has it all on him, all your weariness, and he's on the way to the cross to relieve us, that we have opportunity to receive rest from him because that he's going there. Hallelujah. Come on. He's on his way there. So he has all this weariness, all these burdens, everything that is mounting upon him that's going to be placed upon him at the cross. And he's aware of all this that's going to be poured upon him in this. So he can relate to weariness. Come on, hear me. He can relate to it, but he went to the cross so that you don't have to carry it no more. Come on, amen. If it's on the cross, it doesn't have to be on you. I'm going to say it again. If it was on the cross, it doesn't have to be on you. Whether it's sickness, weariness, pain, disease, it went to the cross, leave it on the cross. If it's on the cross, it doesn't need to be on you as a man and woman of God. And he says, the pastor, he says, he should depart out of this world. And he says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This is powerful because he said he loved them unto the end. Don't be weary. He was going to sow, hallelujah, and reap a harvest because he wasn't going to let himself be weary and well-doing. Amen? So he was going to the cross and his focus was on who? On the Father. Next verse. He says, and supper being ended. Here we go. You guys always catch this. Remember, the enemy, just like I just said, see, Jesus is going to relieve the weariness off of mankind. Sickness, disease, pain, all this. He was going to take it from them. But the enemy is always there. Here's this verse right here, stuck right in the middle. There's verse 1, verse 2. And he says, supper was ended, and the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas, Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He put it in his heart to betray him. This is how Jesus, come on, I want you to hear this, because this is where sometimes you get weary. Sometimes you get weary with saints. Sometimes you get weary with people. Come on, help me tonight. You get weary with your job. You get weary with things. And the enemy tries to put something in the hearts. Tries to bring in deception. Tries to bring in a speed bump to get you to lose control. And to give up and to quit and to stop. But this is how Jesus, come on, hear me. This is how Jesus dealt with betrayal. This is how Jesus dealt with the devil. Next verse. Jesus knowing, what verse? Tell someone what verse. Jesus didn't even pay attention to it. He just stepped right over that. It was right there. It's right there for us to see. And this is powerful because, why did they put that right in there? Because he's showing you, this is how Jesus dealt with it. This is how Jesus went beyond that and went past betrayal, went beyond those things. He didn't deal with it. He didn't let it get on him. He didn't let him become weary in that stuff. And he says, he didn't become heavy laden with the guilt and hurry. Oh, this is, man, I poured into this guy's life. I'm here for him. This, that. No, no. He just went on. And this is what got him through it. This is what gets you through betrayal. This is what gets you through weariness. Right here. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. He says, and that he was come, say it with me, from God and went to God. See, I want you to know, you will not get off track when you know who you are, know where you're from, and know where you're going.
And the enemy wants to try to get in and detour you. Come on, we talked about that this year. He wants to get you off the path that God has for you, to get you off walking in the Spirit. And that's what's happening with people. They get weary and they want to do good. Trust me, I know people that have been, I want to be a church this and that, but they let everything become wear them down. But we got to understand who we are, what I'm here for, that I have a plan, and the way to not be wore down frustrated is focus on my purpose and who I am and who my Father is, and know that I got a plan in life. Hallelujah. And he says, and that he was come from God and went to God. I love, you need to just remember that. You just need to just place that in your heart and say, man, I know who I am. I know what I'm doing, and I know where I'm going. Enemy, you can't do anything. You need to just shut up. Next verse. And he rose up from the supper and laid aside his garments. Listen, this is the story of Jesus. Come on. This is the story explaining to you of what he did for you and who he is to us. It says that he laid his, he got up from the supper. Let's deal with that. Jesus left his place in heavenly places. Come on, hear me. He left the table of the Father and he came to earth. He left his garment, his royal priest, his royal kingly garments, and he set it aside. Come on here. And he put on what? Took a towel. He put on an earthly suit just like me and you. Come on, amen. He put on this earthly suit. He put on this towel that covered up his nakedness just like you and I. He was showing us and he was declaring something. He was showing us the power of this, that he left his place for you. Hallelujah. And he can relate to you. And it says, and girded himself. He put it upon himself. I think this is powerful because, listen, it shows to me that he took his garments off. He was naked and exposed in front of those that were with him. And see, that's powerful because there was nothing hidden. He was open to those that were with him. So I want you to know there's something powerful about willing to be open with one another. Being real with one another. Come on, amen? Being real with one another. That there's nothing hidden, that we're able to talk to one another, and that there's nothing that behind you, one another's back. He says, this is the body. This is how we relate to one another. And he was willing to be naked. And sometimes we're not willing because why? Because of pride. We want to cover up. We come to church. Jesus dealt with this all the time. We come to church and we try to cover ourselves so we're not willing to be, you know what, I'm not perfect. I ain't got it all together. Sometimes I'm afraid. Sometimes I fear. Sometimes I'm weary. Come on, amen. And Jesus was willing to expose and be real. This is what you need to do one another. You can't hide it. Because I want you to know that these moments like this, we say, man, I'm weary too. Me that, man. Let's pray together. Come on, amen. Something happens in those moments that when we all act like, and what happens is we're not even relatable to the world because we look like and act like we got it all together. What are they saying? Well, we act like we're all pretty. We act like we're all perfect and we got it all together and we can't even relate to the world. We can't even say, you know what? Listen, I got mistakes too, but I tell you what I have. I have a Jesus. I have a Savior. Hallelujah. I have hope. I have hope. I have hope. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. And he says, he took the towel and he girded himself. But that was so powerful because, listen, he was perfect in every way. But it's powerful to show that he was exposed before those that he was with. He was real. He wasn't hidden. Come on, like the Sadducees and Pharisees, they were all dressed up in garb. They made themselves look higher. Their hats were higher. Taller, bigger, beautiful, richly garments to impress those and say, look what I am because I know God. Look where you are. But Jesus says, I'm just like you. I'm here to show you how to succeed. I'm here to show you that my Father, the Father, can take the nakedness of a man. Come on, amen? And put a priestly garment upon him. Next verse. And he says, and after that, He poured the water into a basin and began to wash his disciples. I want you to know that he was poured out. Come on, amen. He was heaven's answer that was poured out onto the earth, that was thirsty, that was longing for something. It was Jesus. Hallelujah. He was poured out. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God was poured out into the earth. And it says, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. There's so much in this, but I just want us to get this, that he began to wash their feet. He began to relate to them. He began to wash them of the journey that they became weary with. Like I said from the beginning, remember that being weary means that a rest, he began to wash the dust off. Hallelujah. If you let Jesus and get in his presence, just wash the dust off. Those things that can hold you back. Come on, that's what dust does. It keeps us. I get in sometimes working positions and places where the most miserable thing is to walk in mud. I hate it cold, but I love it when it freezes sometimes because I ain't walking in mud no more. And it pulls you down. And by the end of the day, you know what I am? Thank you. Yeah, you were excited to do that, weren't you? I got weary. Love it. He says, and after he poured out to wash the disciples' feet. But I want you to see that this is what Jesus came for. Amen. This is what he came for. He was demonstrating something powerful here that he was pouring out. Remember I said about the balance? Here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords pouring out. He was not only receiving, but he was giving. Receiving, giving. Receiving, giving. Oh, I want you to hear this and know this, because one of the reasons why Christians become weary, because they stop giving. They sit in church and receive. Receive. Listen, do you see this? Receive. You see how something's getting out of balance? You know, something's pulling you the wrong way? Pulling you this way. If there's no giving, there's no balance to set you straight, to align you. It's in giving. Come on. It's in giving to one another. And Jesus is demonstrating this. He says, listen, here it is. I'm going to wash you from this. But he wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He took his towel. Listen, it was his body that cleansed us. He took his own body, his own garment, his flesh went on the cross and died for you. Hallelujah. That you don't have to live in the flesh, but you could take on a heavenly, hallelujah, the heavenly. Isn't that good? And he says, and then he said to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He's watching. Listen, you know, this is what we do. This is what we do. And this is powerful, because here's this moment. I got 5 minutes. Listen, here's the thing. This is Peter sitting there, and he's like, oh, I'm going to press Jesus. I'm going to press him. Because all these ones are, he's washing their feet. Man, this is my Savior. This is Jesus. I'm not going to let him do it. See, I want us to get this. And this is what we do sometimes. And we don't do it bad sometimes, but we got to understand that we can't do this. We can't do this. We don't go to him with our needs sometimes because we think, you know what, God's got a lot. I can handle this. No, don't do that. Everything go to him. Everything and everything. Sometimes we carry it ourselves, that we go through pain and sickness. No, I want you to know, don't keep it. Sometimes, you know what, you need to just keep it. Well, I've been like this for a long time. You keep going to God with it. Hallelujah. You keep laying it before him. You keep, don't say, well, don't give up at that place. Don't be weary and doing well, and saying, God, Lord, I need this. God, I need this in this situation. God, Lord, whatever this is, God, I want to learn through this thing. I don't want to be bitter, God. But God, Lord, I want to press through this thing, God. I want to press through this. Amen? There were some things that I carried for a long time. And I want you to know that those things that I finally got released from, that God set me free from, at those moments, you know that there was people, one person that was in my life that I gave back to from what I went through, I was able to minister to that person from that one thing. I might never minister to anybody else about that, but that one person I did. And I could speak to it. because I hurt that way. And he says, oh, he says, dost thou wash my feet? He says, next verse. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do thou knowest now? But you don't know now. He says, but thou shalt know hereafter. He says, you don't know right now. Sometimes we don't know what's happening right now. Come on. And the not knowing can cause us to be weary. If you don't have answers, sometimes it'll cause you to become weary. Because all you do is your mind runs and runs and runs and runs. In the not knowing. And he said, and he says, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus said to him, he says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You shall know hereafter. Hebrews 10:22. You look at that while I keep reading. And then Peter said unto him, thou shalt never. Say never. Say it again. He said, you shall never, ever wash my feet. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, this is, they didn't really understand it because they didn't understand that he was going to the cross, that he, because of his sacrifice, was going to be, take all that off of them. Amen? So he didn't know right then and there really what was happening. Sometimes I want you to know that you don't know what God's got in store. These disciples really didn't know. He told them how many times that he was going to die and going to be broken and all this, but they didn't want to believe it. Sometimes God shares things to us and we just don't want to believe it. Come on, amen? But here he was. He says, let us, next verse, go back to that, Peter. And Peter says, never, never. Jesus answered him, he says, if thou wash do not, thou hast no part of me. How, I want you to know, how long is never? It's one verse with Peter. Because in verse 9, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, don't just wash my feet. He says, but wash my hands and my head too. Listen, sometimes we say never. Listen, do you know that I told God I would never be a pastor? Next verse. I told God I would never, ever, ever, made sure he heard it, ever move into a church that looked like a church. Not only am I going to put you in a church that looks like a church, but I'm going to put it in the center of town. And you're going to be... So I'm thinking to myself, well, I'll tell you what, either he loves me or he don't like me. He determined me not. But don't ever say never, amen? Because listen, they're not never. Sometimes we say never, but we don't know. Listen, I want you to know that sometimes we hear things sometimes, well, God will never make you do what you don't want to do. And I do agree with that to some degree, but I don't, because I didn't want to be a pastor. But I didn't know my own heart, what I really wanted. He did. See, I didn't believe that that's who I was. And if he listened to me, I would have never known what the joy was that I would have from it. I had a lot of nevers in my life. Listen, I'm telling you. I said I'd never get married. And I'd never marry a country girl. I'm married 27 years and she's a country girl. Not anymore. Kind of changed. So he says, wash my hands, my feet, wash every part of me. Next verse. And he says, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but his clean every whit. He is clean. He is clean. Tell someone you're clean. Listen, you're clean. You are clean. That's powerful. And I want you to get this and know that, listen, what he did at the cross is done. It's done. It's finished. But what happens is he took away our sins. But what he's dealing with now, what you're dealing with is the ramifications of a nature that we were born with. Come on, a sin nature. And that's what God, that's what the Spirit of God, that we walk with Him so that we learn not to walk in that nature. Listen, if you repeat something and follow, whatever you're following, that's what you become. So if we follow that sin nature, we'll have results of sin. But if we follow the Christ nature, amen, who's the redeemed nature, that redeemed nature, the Christ nature, we follow that, all of a sudden, guess what? You'll produce holiness. It'll just come out of you. You don't have to perform it. You don't have to act like, you don't have to do it. No, just follow Jesus and that'll come from it. Amen? Amen. Let me finish here. And he says, he that is washed, he says, but not everyone here, but not all. And he was talking about Judas. For he knew that he was this, you are not all clean, because he did not receive it. He wasn't going to receive it. He wasn't going to receive it. Amen? He didn't want to receive it. And he says, you call, and so after he washed their feet, he had taken his garments, and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. He says, do you understand what I have done to you? Last scripture, Ephesians 2:6. He took his garments, and what did he do? What did he do? Huh? And he, what, sat? He sat down. He took his garments and sit down. Listen, and he hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. There is our place of removing ourselves from weariness is in heavenly places with him. We got to understand that what took place at that moment, do you understand what happened? That's what he said to them. Do you understand that this is what's going to take place? I'm going to give you opportunity to leave your place of weariness, hurtfulness, sickness, disease, and be with me in heavenly places. And you know, listen, he says this. He's kicked back in heavenly places like this. And he wants you to sit beside him. How does he want you to sit beside him? With your feet up. Listen, we put our feet up. That's powerful because you know who's under our feet? I can live like this with my feet on the ground fighting enemies that I don't have to because He put her on the cross. And He put me in heavenly places with Him, seated with Him. In heavenly place. I choose to be in that place. I choose to be in that place. Not a place of weariness. Not a place of frustration. But I have to see myself in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray to God, Lord, that in this season we don't become weary. But God, Lord, that we rest in you. We choose to rest in you. We choose to find our rest in you. That we let our understanding and our thoughts go to you and receive what you have for us, God, and all that you've done. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? All right. Bless somebody.
There's a lot more to that. I...